You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. What's on the menu?
Okay, I have a factual emergency. This is driving you crazy. Why can we not describe the flavors of food without using other food? Like, for example, if I'm sitting here eating corn and someone's like, what does corn taste like? I have no words to describe that flavor. I just want to know why we cannot describe food flavors.
Hello?
Hey, Shannon, this is Flora from ELT.
Hi!
Is it corn season where you are?
I don't specifically know, just because I, like, normally buy corn in, like, steamer bags, so I can buy it whenever I feel like it, really.
It's always corn season.
Yes.
Okay, I'm all ears. Why are you calling about corn?
Okay, so I'm trying to eat vegetables more often. I feel like I'm turning 25 next month, and I was like, okay, I need to start eating more vegetables because I don't. And
this is like a rite of passage that people go through, like, usually at 3 or 4.
I'm really picky, so I don't just, like, eat a lot of things. Corn and green beans are actually, like, the only two vegetables I like.
How much corn do you eat?
It's on heavy rotation weekly. The other day, I went to a restaurant, and I was like, build your own salad bar, and I put, like, lettuce, cheese, corn, dressing. That was my salad.
And were you feeling like, oh, I really branched out with the lettuce?
Yes.
Okay, so you only eat corn, but that's actually not why you called. You called because you want to know how to describe corn.
Yes.
Why?
So I just moved in with my boyfriend in June. He just kind of likes, like, steak and, like, beef and chicken. That's kind of him.
Period.
Yes. But sometimes I want him to eat something, and I really want him to experience the flavor, and he just won't. And then I'm just, like, completely at a loss because I'm like, this is so good. And I feel like I just don't have any words to, like, describe the actual flavor of the food item. Like, I can't use words to tell you, like, what this tastes like. You'd actually have to taste it, and you won't do it.
If you had words for it, you'd be able to give him a sense of what you're enjoying.
Yes.
Is this, like, where your communication in your relationship really breaks down?
My love language is for sure food.
Corn.
Corn.
Okay, so tell me what you really want to know.
I want to know either, like, why can't I, or I want to know, like, how to describe, like, the actual flavor of something.
Do you think that other people are better at this than you, or do you think this is sort of a widespread problem?
Oh, I hope at least someone is better at it. I need some answers.
Okay, well, I think we have just the person to help you hoe this row.
I cannot wait.
I want to introduce you to someone outstanding in the field. This is Gail Van Seville. She has been listening in on this conversation.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I am here and listening attentively.
Hello, Gail.
Nice to meet you.
Gail, do you feel like you're up to speed?
Totally and completely. And I have heard Shannon's problems and quests and requests many times before.
You have?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Do you think people are generally bad at describing food?
I think Americans are bad at describing food. We teach our children colors, numbers, animals. French and Italian children that are 4 years old can tell the difference between a Parmesan cheese and a Pecorino.
Oh.
Why? Because they talk about it in their houses.
Gail runs a company called Sensory Spectrum. And one thing they do is to help food companies understand why people like some products over others. So Gail will tell you, like, oh, your customers like your brownie because of the hint of vanilla that enhances the cocoa flavor. She is a highly skilled professional food describer.
Oh, absolutely. I have been doing this for I hate to admit it, over 50 years. It was the first job I ever had, and it's the only job I've ever done, and it requires a tremendous amount of practice because most of the work is in your head, not in your nose or your tongue. And so this is very much an acquired skill more than it is, whoa, I have this super gift.
So I have some hope.
There is hope for you.
Okay, before we get to the meat and potatoes of this conundrum, how about an amuse-bouche? I want to play a game. Gail, I'm going to say a food, and then I want you to say the first descriptor that comes to mind. So are you ready, Gail?
Sure.
Kiwi.
Juicy and green.
Warm mayonnaise.
Eggy.
Papaya.
Cat pee.
Oh.
That was a surprise.
A lot of tropical fruits have some chemistry in the flavor notes, particularly mangoes is another one that will, a lot of people will say it reminds them of cat pee.
Is that the technical term, cat pee notes?
Yes. Oh, cat pee is absolutely the technical term. Yes.
Alligator.
You know, I was hoping we would get to this. A lot of meat that is not red meat, including some fish that does not have a lot of fishy notes, will taste like something in the sensory field we call sweet white meat. And it's like white protein, and it doesn't have a lot of character. And much of the alligator that I've tasted in my life actually tastes just like sweet white meat. And the joke of like, ah, it's just like chicken, is actually true.
And I have to agree. I've had alligator at a fair before. I thought it did taste like chicken. But I feel like if someone hasn't had chicken either, then what?
And I hear that that's your issue, is why do we have to describe things as some other thing that's a food? And the reason is because as humans, all of the information we get comes through our senses. The only way to describe the color red is to refer back to something red. So that if you've never eaten chicken, all you can say to them then, it's a bland protein. What other proteins do you eat? And if they haven't had those experiences, then they have not had that part of their life expanded, and so they might want to go try it.
Shannon, any foods you want to throw at Gail? What about something you hate to eat?
Ooh. I think I hate eggs, like, the most out of anything.
Eggs.
Yep. And so, Shannon, do you normally cook your eggs until they have a brown crust on them or a brown edge?
Oh, I don't cook eggs at all. I've never cooked an egg in my life.
Okay. It may... Your early egg experience, chicken and egg, haha. And your early egg experience may have been that somebody cooked eggs for you and browned the scrambled eggs or browned the edges of your over easy egg. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're scorching the protein and it ends up tasting and smelling like burnt hair or burnt fur. Like when you strike a match and you might singe your hair or something. Or like if you overheat your hair dryer and you can smell the burning hair. That note is in those browned eggs. Most people don't realize what it is, but it's a not attractive smell. It is actually degrading protein. And so if that's how you started eating eggs, your body might have just been turned off to that.
Did you have like an early trauma with eggs?
No, I just feel like they're weird in all forms. Like, however people cook eggs where, like, the yolk's in the middle and they cut it and it runs all over everything, that makes me want to die. I feel like eggs is just, like, chicken jello.
Shannon, you were really onto something, though. The fact that you called the egg chicken jello is exactly correct. You can taste the chicken in the egg. The better the eggs are, the more you can taste the chicken in them.
Gail, do you get into a flow state when you're tasting? Like, you know how professional athletes or musicians are like completely in the moment and absorbed?
Absolutely. And my kids, who are now much older, but when they were teenagers, hated when we went out to dinner. And the minute They saw me close my eyes. They knew I was going there. They're like, Dad, make her stop. Because it's embarrassing. Because you get into like a place where you're communing with the product and that's it. I don't know anything else that's going on around me. It's very weird and true.
When you're with your family, do you start saying out loud what you're registering?
I've tried to curtail that to be socially acceptable, but sometimes I will make a face and my husband will say, stop, I'm enjoying this, mine is fine, I don't want to hear it. Then he looks at me and goes, okay, what?
After the break, more taste tips from Gail, along with a very corny experiment.
Oh, polenta.
Okay, Gail, are you up for helping Shannon with her corny dilemma?
I am absolutely full of corn.
Okay, so to help Shannon build her corncabulary, we're going to do a corn tasting experiment.
Yep.
Did everybody get their ELT meal delivery boxes?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's open them.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do you have a saw over there?
No, I have a serrated knife.
All right. I have just opened my box.
Okay, the great reveal.
Okay, so what do we have in here?
Oh, polenta.
I also have polenta.
Okay. We have corn nuts.
And then I have a can of whole kernel sweet corn.
Okay, Gail, where do we begin?
Let's start with the can of corn.
I hope everyone has a can opener handy.
I have mine.
I have my can opener.
Maybe. This is working backwards.
Okay, this is a little more challenging to open than my steamer bag.
Have you used a can opener before?
A few times, but typically not the most successfully.
Is this why you don't eat very many vegetables? Maybe it's like a tool problem.
It definitely could be a tool problem. We have opened the corn.
Woo!
All right.
We're going to have to go lukewarm.
No, RT, room temperature.
RT. Oh, that, is that how, what we should call it? RT.
Are we taking, like, a big bite of this corn?
Yeah, Shannon, there's no taking two or three kernels. Take a great, big, giant spoonful and put it in your mouth.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
Okay. Do you want me to describe it or keep chewing it?
Go ahead.
Okay. It's kind of sweet. It's like,
yep.
Has a nice little like crunch, but also squish.
Hmm.
Maybe a little salty.
Very good. It's not obvious. That's a good one.
I feel like I'm getting a like vegetal
right.
flavor. What is that?
I think it's green. And I think this particular can tastes to me very cobby. It has a lot of what I call hull.
What do you mean the hull? Like the cob or the husks?
No, not the husks. The outside cellulose coating of each kernel, which is very much also like the cob.
Yeah. I guess that is kind of a flavor that I taste.
Okay, Gail, which one should we try next in our cornucopia here?
The cornucopia. I would go with the polenta.
This is very appetizing.
It's fine.
It's like a log, a heavy log.
It's just, we're just tasting. We don't have to enjoy it.
Ooh, it's juicy in there.
Oh, it's, okay.
Yep.
A lot of polenta juice went in a lot of different places.
I've opened the polenta.
How pumped are you right now, Shannon, about eating this?
Oh, God. Okay, you tell me when.
Go.
Okay. Okay, I don't really like this.
Don't think about liking it. Think about analyzing it for me. Tell me what you think it reminds you of.
Okay, this is going to be
kind of weird, but it kind of reminds me of like broccoli because I don't like eating broccoli either because the little tree part on it like just like separates a lot in your mouth. And I feel like the polenta did the same like separation.
Yep.
So you're like, you're responding to the texture.
Yes.
One of the things that Shannon, since she's texture sensitive, will find annoying as hell is the fact that there are now grains stuck between your teeth and your cheeks. So you feel like you need to rinse out your mouth, and that people find annoying. And that's why, here's an interesting factoid, when you eat cereal and they have raisins or dates in them, the purpose of the raisins and the dates is not just for flavor. They go around and pick up all the little dry particles in your mouth and clean them up like a vacuum cleaner.
Wow. That just blew my mind.
Okay, let's do our last test.
Last but not least.
Smoked barbecue corn nuts.
I think these are probably going to be my least favorite.
Really? Even after the polenta?
I just don't like corn nuts. Okay. Oh. They kind of remind me of, like, pretzels.
Yeah, there's a dark brown toasted note, so that's perfect. And they're quite salty, which will do that also.
I'm getting intense smoke flavor.
You are, because I'm getting some smoke flavor, but I'm getting a lot of dehydrated onion and garlic.
Oh. I'm going to try another one with that in mind.
Don't just eat one. Eat about four or five at a time.
All right. Digging in here. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. It's like now that you've identified it, I can taste it.
Right.
I'm trying really hard. I feel like I'm not picking it up. I think I'm just too distracted by the texture.
So tell me about the texture, Shannon.
I don't like it at all. I don't like how when I'm chewing on it, it like builds up on my teeth.
There's a word for that. It's called tooth pack.
I don't like that.
That it packs in your teeth so that sometimes you can't even bring your teeth together. And it's annoying to a lot of people, just like having a lot of particles in your mouth. You feel like you're being invaded. Something's sticking on you and like, I have to get rid of it.
That's exactly how my mouth feels when I eat broccoli. It feels like it's being invaded.
Yep. Really?
I think Shannon has more issues with texture than she does with flavor. I really do.
Yeah.
Gail, just generally, what's your like number one tip for people who have food aversions, who are like really picky eaters?
If they want to get over it, and some people do not want to get over it, but if they want to get over it, is to start in small doses. Like with the broccoli, start with the part of the broccoli you can tolerate and then work your way up. Don't say, I'm going to take this entire broccoli stalk and shove it in my mouth. No, you're just going to turn you off completely. And try it with some cheese on it, or try it in a vegetable lasagna.
Okay, so I basically just need to trick myself by putting food in other food.
Yep.
Or smothering it in cheese, which I'm definitely okay with.
So, Gail, how do we get better at describing food? Is there a homework assignment?
Yeah. How do you practice?
Okay, here's a simple practice that I tell people who are taking courses with us on let's say, on flavor. Go home, take out all your green herbs, line them up, and let's hope that you have more than three.
So, Shannon, go to the grocery store, buy some five green herbs.
Oregano, thyme, sage, rosemary, bay leaf, tarragon. And what you do is you open up each one and you smell it and you think about the name and what it smells like. And then you go to the next one and the next and the next. And then you take them all and you scramble them around on your counter and you turn the labels away from you and you pick one up and smell it and see if you can name that herb. And then you do the same thing with four, five, six brown spices. And as you get into it, you start to recognize those things in the same way that you might recognize colors, or you may recognize songs, or you might recognize Shakespeare quotes. It's all getting it straight in your head.
Yeah, it's like expanding your love language, adding some new vocabulary to your love language.
Okay. Okay. I like that. This has been an adventure for my palate today. I definitely, like, wouldn't have taken another bite out of the polenta because I really didn't like it. But I got through it. So now I'm feeling inspired.
See?
You should just conference us in for every meal.
I think so. I think I'm going to have to. I'll be like, hey, Flora, I'm trying a new vegetable today. Today we try cucumbers. Maybe you guys will talk to me next year and I'll be like, look at all the foods I eat now.
Yay.
Let's do that. Let's meet right here at this exact time on December 9th, 2020.
Okay. It's in my calendar.
Done.
We're going to be back here in 2020 and you're going to be like chowing down on a cricket burrito covered in broccoli sauce.
I'll be like, I actually cut the little broccolis off and sprinkle them on other food.
Good luck, Shannon, and keep eating.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
If you have a question you can't get to the bottom of, you've tried, you've Googled, you've asked people, call us. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram all week at ELT Show.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, David Gorin, and Andrew Stelzer. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. Mixed by Matt Bowl, Bobby Lord, and Peter Leonard. My polenta is always RT. Goodbye.
Hi, my name is Ellie, and I am not the kind of person that would ever call into a podcast, but I just got done listening to the butt pain episode, and I am so relieved myself because my entire family makes fun of me because I can't watch anything. I could barely watch the crime drama TV shows because it's just so painful. So thank you so much. I love your show. And just wanted to share that with you.